At that time Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Thomas Aquinas, whose feast we just celebrated recently, and whose learning we teach to the seminarians throughout the world in our traditional seminaries, defines peace as the tranquility of order. When a home is left with unwashed dishes everywhere and piles of paper and trash here and there throughout the living room, when bills are left unpaid, then we have a sort of scatterbrain moment. We feel flustered all the time. But when our homes are in good order, clean, and our duties have been accomplished, we enjoy a certain natural peace of mind. And when our children are out of sorts, the husbands and fathers do not perform their duties, there will certainly be discord in the family. Because why? The order established by God has been disturbed. There can be no peace where order is not present. In the Gospel of today's Mass, we see two contrasting scenes. It's not actually mentioned in this Gospel, but it is the circumstances surrounding it. At the foot of Mount Tabor, there was nothing but chaos and disorder, panic, fear, for there was a boy there. His father had brought him to the disciples, and the boy was possessed by the devil, foaming at the mouth, gnashing his teeth. It was a very chaotic scene, as you could imagine. But high atop the mountain, there was peace. Our Lord had favored his three apostles, Peter, James, and John, with just a glimpse, momentary as it was, a glimpse of his glory. His garments, it says, became white as snow, and his face shone as the sun. It was a beautiful and a peaceful moment, a prefiguration of what only the faithful souls will one day witness in heaven, where there will be unalterable and unending peace for all eternity. But this same contrast that we witness at the bottom of the mountain and the top is seen in our world today, isn't it? Where economies fall flat, entire countries are disrupted, and war, we hear rumors of war from every corner of the world almost 24/7. Why is this? Because the order established by God has been overturned. Without order, there is no peace. We cannot expect it. It is non-existent in this world. We have turned away, many of us in the world, from the fervent worship of the one true God. We've set up our own golden calf, an idol, in his place, in our hearts, in society, everywhere. And it is to these gods that we turn instead of the true God when things get rough. I mean, as Bishop Dolan mentioned in his past sermons, our gods, the sports heroes, and our television actors. And then there are the other ones in our modern-day culture of lust and of riches, avarice, everything like that. But peace is the tranquility of order. But since we have overturned the only order that matters in this world, God's order, how can the world expect to have peace? I think of all of these poor men and women so involved and wrapped up in politics, thinking this is what's going to change the world. No, it will never change the world, not until the order of God has first been established in society. Nothing else will work but that. This is really the purpose of Lent, isn't it? I mean, to establish order where before there was no order. Here, in the heart, there in society, everywhere in the world. Father Palma, a classmate of mine in the seminary days, told me that he recently saw a shirt that said, "Lent, the reason I am not a Catholic." And while at first thought we kind of, our lips turn up in a smile and we think, well, yeah, that's just about right. But then when grace comes into the heart and we put things in perspective, we realize, no, it's not true. It's not good. Only a carnal-minded, worldly person would say such a thing as that. Only one who has turned far away from the true God and set up idols in his own heart, his passions, and all of that, who has not the desire, or at least a very little desire, to see the majestic face of God in heaven, could ever say such a thing as that. For without penance, there is no heaven. Without Lent in the soul, there is no order, and hence, there is never any peace. Lent is a time to restore order to the soul. Because of original sin, the order established by God has been turned upside down. Everything is chaotic in the soul. We must, when you think of it, strive constantly, day in and day out, to submit our intellects to the mysteries of the faith of God. I'm not speaking here so much about the principal teachings of our catechism, the Incarnation, the Trinity, the Holy Eucharist. Most Catholics don't have a problem submitting their intellects to those truths. I'm speaking of the really practical ones that you can apply to everyday life, such as the love of God. How many of us have to struggle with that thought that God does not love me? No. The teachings of the faith is this, that God has a personal love for each person, sinner though he be. It is a love that is infinite. It is a love that is stronger and more powerful than the love of the greatest mother that ever lived on earth. Or then we struggle with those thoughts, a teaching of the faith, that evil is permitted by God only for a greater good. And so we struggle to submit our intellect to this teaching as well, that this cross, here and now that I am enduring, sickness or old age, the death of a loved one, or whatever the trial might be, a temptation, this is for my good. Here and now, it is for my salvation. How often we struggle to put our intellect and make it ordered to God. How often we struggle with our will, that rebellious will that never wants to be bent and subject to the will of God and His Ten Commandments. That shows itself all the time in the temptations that come. Then remember, there's always a battle in our soul, for original sin has destroyed, taken away the order that God had originally placed there. And Lent seeks to restore that order, to repress our rebellious wills, to bring our intellects and bow them down to the truths of God, to subject our imagination to Almighty God. That is what Lent is. And far from saying Lent, the reason I am not a Catholic, we should be saying Lent, the reason I am a Catholic. It should make us truly love our faith all the more, because it has given us this means of restoring peace to the soul. But let's turn back to Mount Tabor. While there is nothing but discord and sorrow and chaos at the foot of the mountain on that day of the Transfiguration, there was atop the mountain, there was peace, and it was a perfect peace. Why? because all that were present there, Moses and Elias, Peter, James, and John, they were all united around the figure of Christ. Pope St. Pius X's motto, his coat of arms, said, "To restore all things in Christ. There will never be peace here in the soul. There will never be peace in the world until that has been accomplished and all things, all people, all nations are united around Christ." But here, again, in the tabernacle, our Lord is waiting on the mountain of our altar. And the tabernacle, remember the tabernacle from today's Gospels that St. Peter so desired to build for our Lord? Well, it's built right here on our altar here in Westchester. It has been built. And the same Christ that we read about in the Gospels every day, with all of the same powers, with all of the same mercy and compassion to sinners, is all right there in the sacred host. It is the same Christ and the same one that was transfigured on Mount Tabor. We must once more, if we want to restore order to our souls and ultimately in society, unite here in the church around the person of Christ. The tabernacle truly is our refuge from this world, a place of rest for the weary. We shake the dust of the world off of our feet and enter the church. My dear faithful, one last thought for this sermon. Notice how our Lord took his three chosen apostles. He took them high up on the mountain to show them the glory that he concealed up to that time beneath his sacred humanity. The Holy Eucharist, too, it was instituted on a mountain, Mount Sion. Our Lord truly loves the mountains. Many of his greatest miracles were done on a mountain. The agony in the garden, the ascension into heaven, the institution of the Eucharist. And when he prayed, one of his chosen places was often high up in the mountain, far away from the chaos of the world. For the lowlands, the land surrounding the mountains, symbolized a place of disease and of sickness, which ultimately the soul will contract and die from. And so to escape it all of this chaos, then we must climb. We must climb and leave the lowlands of the earth below, the lowlands of our godless society, and the many idols that it raises up for our adoration, and take refuge on the mountain where our Eucharistic King waits. Here it is, truly, as Blessed Peter Julian Aimard always taught, here it is that you will find the same peace that the three apostles found on Mount Tabor. And here is where your transfiguration will take place. If you kneel with a right heart before the tabernacle, soon enough your heart will break, the stony heart, and will be made a heart of flesh, and you will be transfigured from a person enamored with the world and all that it has to a person full of Christ and all of his virtues. This Lent, a practical suggestion, as you've given up so much during this season, your candy and your food and your fasting, all of that, how about doing something now? You must fill in the voids of all the things that you gave up. Now come and fill it with the presence of our Lord. And if you can't make it here for an extra Mass or an extra communion during the week, well, do the bare minimum on Sundays when you're here and you receive our Lord into your heart in Holy Communion, at least give him the 10 or 15 minutes after Mass. For there it is that your soul will find peace in this chaotic world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.